So in this week's parsha, Yetzias Mitzrayim comes to a magnificent climax with Shira Sayam. And Shira Sayam will be the topic we will be discussing at the second part of the Shia, but the first section of the Shia deals with one of the basic malachas in Shabbos. Actually, even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Klal Yisrael on Shabbos, there was one malacha that came before all the others. ויאמר השם אל משה, אדון מיינתם לשמור מצווי סי וסי ריסי, ראו כי השם נוסן לכם עשה שבס, על כן, הוא נוסן לכם ביום השישי לכם יומיים, שבו איש תחתיו, אל יצא איש ממקומוי ביום השביעי. And we find in two different sources in Shas, two different interpretations, on the pasuk, אל יצא איש ממקומוי. In Erev and Dafyut Zayinam at base, Chazal interpret this pasuk as a source for the Issa Hoitzoa v'Shabbos Meshus L'Shus. One of the Lametes Malachas and Shabbos as described and numerized in Shabbos, Ayin Gimel Medalef in the Mishnah, Ovetz Malachas Arboam Chusarachas, Hoitzoa Meshus L'Shus is one of the Lametes Malachas. In Shabbos, as you all very well know, one is not permitted to carry any matzah from one domain to another. And as you saw, most of the cities and towns where from people live, there's an Eruv. In Chutz Lorot, most of the cities and towns where from people live, there's an Eruv. But in Chutz Lorot, the Eruv always is accompanied with a big machloikas. Almost in all the cities and towns in Chutz Lorot, wherever there's a Eruv, it's a source of controversy and conflict. But so many people in Eretz Yisrael, especially, aren't even familiar with the Malachas Eitzor because it is so customary. People carry things out of their homes. But one of the Lametes Malachas is Hoitzor. And in Erev and Yuzayinu Mitbeis, Chazal bring this pasuk as a source that Shabbos is an Issa Hoitzor. And the interpretation of Chazal is not al yetzei ish memkoimoi, but rather al yotzi ish memkoimoi. However, in that same Masechet, in Erev and Daf Nun Aleph or Med Aleph, we find a different pshat, a different interpretation. This pasuk is the source of Issa Tchumi. A person is not entitled to walk out of Tchum Shabbos, leaving the city or the town, leaving the houses, al paim amo. And there's a machloekz in Rishonim, whether Alpai Mame is Chumen Diuraisa or Yud Beis Mel. But nevertheless, Erev Nun Aleph Omed Aleph, the pshat that Chazal give on this pasuk is literally Al Yetzei Ish Memkoimoi, because regarding this of Chumen, it doesn't matter whether you're carrying anything or not. You're not entitled to walk a distance out of the city Alpai Mame or Yud Beis Mel. So Masechet Erev in two different sources, we find two different interpretations on the pasuk Al Yetze Ish Memkoimoi. According to the Gemara, in Erev and Nun Aleph, that this pasuk is speaking about Chumen, do we have another source for Malachas Eitzor? Yes, Shabbos Daf Tzadik Vav. Chazal being another pasuk Vayekole Ha'om Mahavi. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Nidves HaMishkan was overflowing and they had enough of everything, Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is it, we need no more midoves, v'yekolo mahavi, and that is the pasuk that Chazal brings as a source for the Issa Malachas Hoitzor in Shabbos Daf Tzadik Vav. And Tosfos asks a very basic question in Shabbos Beis Mandalav, the first daf in Masechet Shabbos, Tosfos asks, regarding all the other Lamed Ches Malachas, nowhere do we find in Shas that we need a pasuk. The Lametes Malachas are derived from Malachas HaMishkan. And those Malachas that were essential in HaKomis HaMishkan, they are Lametes Malachas Shabbos. And this is what Chazal learned from the Hekesh, Itzkishu, Melechas, Shabbos, Melechas, Mishkan. So those Melechas that were instrumental and essential in Akumas and Mishkan, they are defined as Lamedas Melechas Shabbos. So Tosfos wonders, why do we find in two different places in Shas Bavli, Shabbos Tzadik Vav, Erev and Yuzayin, that Chazal proved the Isser Mitzvah and Shabbos from a Pasuk, and why wouldn't it be enough? It was essential in Melechas Mishkan, and therefore, why do we need a Pasuk to teach us that there is a prohibition to be Moitzi Mishus Lishus Shabbos? So he says that Ashwin and all the other Rishonim suggest an interesting teretz, and they write that Malacha Hoitzo is a Malacha Gruo. I don't know how to translate Malacha Gruo. What, a bad Malacha? A feeble Malacha? It isn't a Malacha of importance as the other Malachas, and therefore, if we wouldn't have had a Pasuk, we would not learn Malachas Mishkan. This brings to mind one of the two gerses that we have in Bava Kama, the Beis Hamidalef. Beis Hamidalef, the Gemara Bava Kama tries to define what's an av and what's a Torah da, because the first Mishnah in Bava Kama we learn of its malachas, not of its malachas. That is the Mishnah in Shabbos, the fine Gimel, but of its nezikin, arbo of its nezikin. And Chazal deal with the question, what do we find define as an av, and how do we define a tolda? And what is the difference between an av and a tolda? So the Gemara brings, regarding Shabbos, we know how to define an av and how to differentiate between an av and a tolda. Ach da hava b'mishkan chashiva korelei av, ach da lo hava b'mishkan chashiva korelei tolda. And there are two different gerses brought in Tosfos and the Shita Megabetzos on the spot in Bava Kama, Beis Hamidalef. Is it hach dehava b'mishkan v'chashiva or hach dehava b'mishkan chashiva? According to the Gerasa, hach dehava b'mishkan chashiva, some Rishonim seem to interpret anything that is counted in the Mishkan or anything that wasn't Mishkan is defined as an av. But according to the Gerasa, hach dehava b'mishkan v'chashiva, it is only if it was a chashiva malochon de Mishkan. Many things were instrumental in Akumas Mishkan, but not all are defined as malachas. It is only those malachas of importance, of centrality, of significance, that are defined as of its malachas because they were essential in Akumas Mishkan. So according to that Gerasa, we understand Tosfos Tetzis far better. Malachas Eitzua obviously was in the Mishkan because they needed to bring many things from the desert, from outside into the camp, and the kroshim, but the masoas, when they went from one destination to the other, the kroshim were defined, were on the agolas, and the agolas, each agola was a reshusa yochid, and when they took the kroshim off the agolas to erect the mishkan, that was defined as a tzolom reshus reshus. But because hoitzoas amalokha grew up, if not, we would have a source in the pasuk, we would not define hoitzoa as a malokha. Why would Hoitzoa be considered a Malacha Gruah? Tosfos does not explain. Or Zeruah, one of the Rishonim, Shabbos, Siman Pei Beis, the Or Zeruah says, why is Hoitzoa a Malacha Gruah? Because Mehikora Chayfetz, Vahashta Chayfetz. In other words, all the other Malachas are malachas of changing, essentially, an object, changing something. When you write letters, you had a blank sheet, and now you have conveyed a message. When you cook, you had raw material that wasn't fitting for consumption, and now you have something that is edible. Koisev, moichit, boirer, koitzer, tzad, anything. All the other malachas, yesh bem shinui beguf hadavar. You're actually changing something, transforming something, making it more better. But by etzoha, you're merely placing an object in a different place. And bu yitzira, there is no tikkun, And therefore, Haitzoa would be defined as a Malacha Grua. And that is why we need a biblical source. And according to the Torah, that Haitzoa is defined as a Malacha and it is prohibited on Shabbos. However, we do find some different formulation or terminology between Tosfos and the Rashba. Tosfos said, why would be Haitzoa be considered a Malacha Grua? Because why would there be a difference between somebody that takes anything out of one Rishus Yochid into another Rishus Yochid? It's also two Rishus. You know, it's one house to another house. House number one belongs to Moshe. House belongs number two belongs to Yosef. And I carried something from one domain to the other, that would not be considered a malacha. However, Mishus Yuchel Mishus Salam would be considered a malacha, and therefore, it would be considered a malacha grua. So Taisvah seems to stress the reason Haitzah is a malacha grua is not because it's essentially different from other malachas, but it has some internal contradiction. Why would there be a difference between somebody that carries anything from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Yochid, and that is not defined as a malacha, that is not prohibited. However, carrying from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Yochid would be an Isra. The Rashba has a different emphasis, and the Rashba says, if a person schleps heavy furniture or heavy luggage in the house, in the same Rishus, from one corner to the other, that would not be considered a malacha. And if he takes a feather or anything that's lightweight, from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Yochid, that would be defined as a malacha. Why would that be? So Tosfos and the Rashba both stress that there seems to be some lack of logic in Malachas Haitzua, and that is why it is defined as Malacha Grua. The Ozerua emphasizes a different point. It's not that there is anything lacking in Malachas Haitzua. It doesn't defy logic, but rather it is different than all the other malachas. Because all the other malachas have a tikkun beguf adavar, and I saw you didn't alter the nature of anything, you changed nothing, it is merely transferring a chayfet, an object, from one domain to the other. And I think maybe in nuances, in dakus, the Rashba and Tosfos might indicate two different definitions of Malachas Haitzua. Because up to this point, we spent a few minutes just trying to understand why Haitzua is different than any other Malacha and why it would be defined as a Malacha Grua. But what is the essence of Malachas Haitzua? I think there are two different ways to understand Malachas Haitzua. Is Malachas Haitzua transferring a chayfet memakoim lemakoim, or transferring a chayfet merishus lerishus? As much as I try to use a polished English, there are some ekdoras that we can't escape, and Russian Kurdish is the only language in which we could really make our intentions and our minds clear. Memakoim lemakoim, or merishus lerishus. When the Navi Yirmiyahu deals with Malachas Haitzua in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chof Aleph, the lesson of the Pasuk is, Al Tisu Maso B'Yoyim HaShabbos. Don't carry Masois B'Yoyim HaShabbos. The Navi doesn't mention the concept of Haitzua. He doesn't say, don't take out Haitzua from your home. Al tisu maso b'yoyim ha-shabbos. And one might argue that the essence of Malachas Haitzua is Nesiyas Maso. But when we speak about Nesiyas Maso by its very nature, it means carrying. Carrying from where to where. So one interpretation would be, essentially, Malachas Haitzua is carrying any object from one place to the other. How do we define a place? What is a place? In many different sugyas and shas, Chazal say, Mekoymo Yishol Adam is Daladamis. We find this concept by Kinyan Daladamis. which is a monetary alochem choshe mishpot, daladama shalodom koinoi sloi. We find this concept, hayoitzo metchum netchum, chutz metchum shahas, eno yele daladamas. He is constricted, he cannot move beyond his daladamas. We find this concept by the use of mave daladamas bishus darabim. So daladamas is defined as a mokoin. And maybe that is why the Gemara Shabbos Sadek Vav says, Mavi Daladam Shusaram is a Toledad Malachas Hoitso. Different domains are also considered different places. Ereshos Yochad is one place, Shusaram is another place. According to this suggestion, according to this understanding, Reshos is not the essence of Malachas Hoitso. But different Rishuyas are defined as different places. And therefore, if it's Daladamas Rishus Arabim, same Rishus, but essentially it is Malecha Seitzua, because Daladamas is Mekoim Oishalodom. And when you pass the limit of Daladamas, that is Altis Umasa B'Yoyim Shabbos. You carry the Masa from one place to the other. But the more conventional approach is, no. Rishus, that is what it's all about. Carrying from one domain to the other. And when Chazal teaches us Dalet Rishuyis B'Shabbos, that there is Rishus HaYochad and Rishus HaRabim, that is the real thing. That is what Malecha Seitzua is all about. And then we would have to suggest, Dalet Damis are Mekoyim Shalodom, and therefore, when a person carries out of Daladamas, it is as if he carries from one Rishus to the other. So once again, to try to put it briefly, Malecha Seitzua, what is that Dora? What is the basic definition? Hoitzuas Masa Mishus Rishus, or Hoitzuas Masa Emokoim Lemokoim. And each Rishus would be defined as a Mokoim. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and I don't think Yirmiyahu is a lomdish sefer. Let me make this clear. You know, I bring it as a remez ba'alma. I think lomdish we need to find starting with the Mishnah and the Gemara, not the Pesukim of Tanakh. However, just to develop the feeling, al tisu masa b'yoyim ha-shabbos. However, in Titus Maish, we learn Haytzor from al yetzei ish mimkoimoy. It is not nesias masa, but going out from mokoim. But once again, Mekoimoi could be defined as Rishus, could be defined as a place. And that might be the difference in the formulation between the Rashba and Tosis. The Rashba says, why is Haitzor Malochai Gerua? Because what would be a difference between carrying heavy objects from one room to the other in the same Rishus, that is permissible, and carrying a feather from one Rishus to the other is also. What is the logic? That defies logic. I think the Rashba seems to indicate that Malecha Seitzua essentially is al tisu masu b'yoyim ha-shabbos. And if carrying a masa is essentially the malacha, then why would it be that carrying heavy masois in the same rishus from one room to the other, and you might be carrying it 20 yards, and it's heavy, and that would be permissible, and carrying 1 foot from one side of the fence to the other, that would be considered a malacha. However, Tosis feels, no, that the essence of Malecha Seitzua was not carrying masois, but rather changing the rishus of a chayfis. And changing the domain would in a way be similar to changing the nature of a chayfis. But the essence of the malacha is and therefore, according to the understanding of Tosis, that would not be an argument at all. Why would it be permissible to carry a heavy object in the same Rishus? Because the same Rishus, essentially has nothing to do with Malachas Hitzor. And therefore, Tosis argues, why would Hitzor be a Malacha Gruan? Because of changing the Rishus is the Malacha. So why would it be permissible carrying from one Rishusyukha to the other Rishusyukha? And after all, it's two different domains. This is Rishusyukha Shaplani, and that is Rishusyukha Shalamoni, and that is why it is considered a Malachi Gnuah. And Minchas Osho Masechet Shabbos Siman Aleph, the first Siman in Minchas Osho Masechet Shabbos, that is the first sugya I started off with. I wrote a suffix, and I'm not aware of any of the Shoinim or Achroinim that ask this question, which is quite surprising and startling to me, because it's very rare that we come up with an idea that nobody discussed up to me, which would be strange. As you all know, Melechus Eitzur is usually put together by three different stages. Akira, one needs to lift the object in one rishus, take it out to another rishus, and hanach. So Akira in one rishus means lifting the object, carrying it out to another domain, and then placing it in that domain. So what is the din? The person is oiko, rishus ayochet. He didn't move, but somebody just threw away the machitas. And that same domain changed from rishus ayochet to rishus aram. Because any place that's dalet al dalet, dalet tfochim al dalet tfochim, and it has mechutzes, which are eser tfochim high, is rishus ayochet. So theoretically, in middle of the road, in the middle of a very busy street, somebody, you know, put four mechitzes, dalad al dalad, that is rishus yochid. Person is standing within that little box, okar rishus yochid, and then somebody comes and takes away the mechitzes. That same place is now defined as a rishus aram, and he puts back the chesed exactly same place he lifted it up just a minute ago. Would that be a malocha diuraisa? Okra mishus ayochet, v'enyach mishus arabe. Well, maybe according to what I argue might be the understanding of the Rashba, based on the posik in Yirmiyahu, al tisu masa, there could be no malacha seitzoh if he didn't even move. He didn't carry the chesed from the mokoyim to the mokoyim. He actually set it down exactly where he picked it up. The only difference is when he picked it up, it was a Rishus Yochid. And now that very same place is a Rishus Arab. But if Malachas Eitzur is all about Shinu HaRishus and not Nesias Maso, there would be room to argue that in that case, there would be no Isser Eitzur. So this is a Shaila I found no source to. My feeling is he would be Chayat. Because that is the conventional understanding. Melechus Eitzur is not about carrying from one place to the other, but rather from one reshus to the other. I wrote a similar hakira dealing with Mavid Aladamas Mishus Arabin. Person picks up an object and he walks in a circle, Daladamas, and puts it back exactly where he picked it up. Would that be Mavid Aladamas Mishus Arabin? Does Mavid Daladamas mean that the Mokam Anocha has to be far from the Mokam Akira Daladamas, or no? Well, he carried it Daladamas Vishusarab, but he was walking in a circle and ultimately put it down where he picked it up. In both cases, I think Chayef. That is my thought, even though I do not have any source to be pushed either this suffix or that suffix. So at the beginning of today's shiur, we discussed the essence of Malachas Eitzur. Why is it different than all the other Malachas? Why do we need a source in the Torah for Malachas Eitzur? Contrary to all the other Malachas that we know, they are included in the Lamedes because they were essential in Hakamas HaMishkan. Now let's deal a bit with various questions, because Malachas Eitzur is quite unique, and throughout the ages, many shailas came up, especially regarding Malachas Eitzur. Even though the basic discussions aren't unique to Malachas Eitzur, but throughout the ages, Malachas Eitzur is one of the malachas that came up in many different circumstances, unlike others. And the Chofetz Chaim, in his Sefer Machne Yisroel, one of the magnificent Sforim the Chofetz Chaim wrote, besides the Mishneh Berura, which has become the most basic halachic authority of our time, and besides the Chofetz Chaim Shmita Lashon and Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim wrote numerous smaller works which are of extreme importance in Halacha and Musa. And one of the very unique forms the Chofetz Chaim wrote was Machnei Sod, dedicated to Jewish soldiers in foreign armies. So when Jewish soldiers were drafted, conscripted, Baal Korchon in foreign armies, well, I don't know whether the Rabbanut HaTzvait in the Russian army or the Polish army was very forthcoming, and whether they asked the Rabbanim, you know, different questions, like in Eretz Yisrael, the Avod. So the Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer, Machnei Sod, dealing with many halachic shailos that come up when Jewish youngsters, people were serving in foreign forces, in Goyish armies. And he deals a lot with Malachas Eitzola, when you need to carry arms or other basic equipment from one domain to the other. And this is a shaila which many Gedolim deal with in our day and age. And there's a very interesting machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliyashiv, the two major poskim in Eretz Yisrael of our era, of our time, regarding soldiers that are on patrol or even in civilian life in many communities and towns in Eretz Yisrael, especially in Yehuda v'Shomron and some other areas which are of a higher security alert, and people need to patrol and they need to carry arms. So Rav Eliyashiv recommends carrying with a shinui, kalach yad. And kalach yad would be permissible not only on the basis of pikuach nefesh, but also on the basis of shavus d'shavus, the mukam tzorech gadol. Because according to the Rama, we don't have Rishus Haram in our day and age, and all our Rishus Harams are Karmelis, which is only in Isid Rabbanon. And kalach yad with the shinui is in Isid Rabbanon, and therefore it would be considered shavus d'shavus. If Shlomo Zalman recommended, no. We need to base the kula on a mukam p'tur. Dalad reshuris, yesh b'shabes. And without going into the details of the dalad reshuris, reshus ha-yokad and reshus ha-ram ha-menatoyra. Karmelis is reshus d'rabbonon. Mid rabbonon, one cannot carry out from a reshus ha-yokad to a karmelis or from a reshus ha-ram to a karmelis. Regarding reshus ha-ram, karmelis would be considered reshus ha-yokad. Regarding reshus ha-yokad, karmelis would be defined as reshus ha-ram. But then we have a mukam p'tur. And a mukam p'tur is a place that does not have dalad al dalad. So Rav Shlomo Zalman argued that whenever we need to carry out Rishus Haram, it should be taken from Rishus Yochid to a mukam p'tur, from mukam p'tur to Rishus Haram. But that is not a reasonable solution, because the problem is, even while you're carrying in the Rishus Haram, it is extremely difficult, maybe even totally impossible, to be careful not to stand and walk around all day. And if you stand, that is a new akira, and you are dealing with Mavdal Gamas Bishus Arabim. And therefore, kalach yad is the more reasonable approach when one needs to carry something out from one Rishus to the other. Many years ago, Gedolei Yisrael in Europe dealt when, in some countries in Europe, the government, the authorities, were mechayev every individual to have his ID with him, identification documents. And it was against the law to walk in Rishus Harabim on Shabbos without identification. And some of the Gedolim dealt with these very issues. How would one be permitted to carry documentation on Shabbos? And if it's considered pikuach nefesh, then you always have the option, stay put, sit at home. It's not pikuach nefesh to leave the house. However, one could assume it definitely is a tzorech gadol or a tzorech mitzvah to go to shul. It would be an extreme problem from the Oinik Shabbos point of view to give a psak that everybody has to stay at home and not daven with minyan, and not have kriyas haTorah, and not be able to visit one another, or go to learn Torah, or go to daven. And therefore, Gedolim made a great effort to try to come up with some heter. How does one carry on Shabbos? So dealing with this issue, we find a tshuva in Marash Engel. Reb Shmuel Engel was one of the greatest Gedolim in Galicia. He was the Rav and Rav Nishlan, a cousin of Reb Yosef Engel. Both were Gedolei Hador. One was in Krakow and the other was in around the Mishnah and Shuvus Marash Engel, we find Chela Gimel Sinanem Gimel, and he deals with the question, Shavus is Shavus v'mokai mitzvah? And let me elaborate. We should understand what we're dealing with. So, Menshin Zayin Sifayim Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Pasim. Amira l'nochri by a Shavus, a Malachat Rabbanon, with a goy. That is what we define Shavus to Shavus. And the Mechaber says, Shavus to Shavus is permissible in one of three different situations. Choylek Tzas, Choylek Tzas. In Dinei Choylek B'Shabbos, there are 10 different levels. But if we will ever dedicate a Shir to Dinei Choylek B'Shabbos, we will go through the 10. What is relevant to our discussion and to most halachic discussions is three different definitions. Naturally, that is matter every malacha diuraisa, pikuach nefesh techeshav. Chole she'ein bo yisekona, we do not permit shivusim, only amira lenachri, because amira lenachri is a very easy shivus. After all, the Jew is doing nothing. It is a non-Jew doing for him. And therefore, amira lenachri kal, Miyesa Hashivusi. Mechush or Choylek Tzas is not defined as the Choylek She'em Bo Sakona. Even Amir Anachi is not permissible. However, Shivus to Shivus. Amir Anachi by Shivus is permissible. Shivus to Shivus is also permissible B'mokum Mitzvah or B'mokum Tzorech Gadol. Three different situations in which a person could be lenient doing a shavus al yedei nachri. That is defined shavus to shavus b'mokai mitzvah. Is the heter of shavus to shavus b'mokai mitzvah only relevant when one of the two shavusim is amida l'nachri? That is the basic source of neder and samach zayin. That is what the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with, shin zayin sifei. How about shavus to shavus, but they're both shavus the Aliyah Yisrael, not Amir al-Anachri. For instance, carrying an Akamalus with a Shinui, would that be permissible? We do not find any clear sources in the Rishon. Reb Shloimeh Kluger, Koch Mishloimeh, Hilchos Shabbos, Siman Shin Ches, says, when a child has to say Kaddish, you could carry him on your shoulders to shul. Because we don't have Rishus Halav and Diuraisa. Chach Mishloimeh relies on the Ramah that we don't have any Rishus Halav and Diuraisa Bismanazah, because Rishus Halav is only Shishim Ribo, as well known. And carrying somebody on your shoulders is Kalach Yad, Shavuz de Shavuz B'moka Mitzvah, saying Kaddish is a mitzvah. That is Chach Mishloimeh Siman Shincha. Many Achronim argue, we do not find the heter of Shavuz to Shavuz B'moka Mitzvah only when one of the two Shavuzim is Amir Anachri. Chazal and Erevin define Amir Anachri Shavuz She'em Bo Ma'isah. But two Shavuzim, Al Yedei Yisrael, don't have the same halach. The Hillel of David has the same heter as the Chok Mishloim. So dealing with the law requiring each individual to carry his identification, do we find a way to be lenient? So some achronim, Shuvus Maharam Brisk, one of the gedolim in Hungary, Chelik Beis, Siman Samech Hei, he supports the opinion of Rav Shloimeh Kluger, Shuvus to Shuvus, carry it, Kelach Hayad, you know, sew it into your garment. That is not the way people usually carry documents. That would be defined as a shavus kalach yad. And we don't have a shavus rabim diuraisa, so shavus to shavus would be mutar. The Maran Brisk has a tremendous chiddush. To me it seems far-fetched. But he was a gadol, and he argues, klas de rabbanan is mutar l'chatchila. Astonishing. So he says, if we see the trei the rabbanon, kal mechad the rabbanon, and shavus the shavus is easier than one shavus, then if we have a klas the rabbanon, that is bechlal, not bechlal isul, which is a tremendous chiddush we find in other sources. So he says, when you carry your identification papers, that would be considered a malach hashem sicha legufo. It is imposed upon us, which is also questionable, whether that would be defined as a malach hashem sicha legufo. But he feels, yes, that is a separate discussion. And it's kalachiyad, and it's a karma. A strauss that a baron, one definitely could be lenient. Reb Shmuel Engel rejects Reb Shlomo Kruger's opinion. And he says, we do not find a heter by shuvus the shuvus only when one of the two shuvusim is amira lenach. However, even if Shmuel Engel says, because we're dealing with klas de rabbanon, and it's a big shas adchak, a big mitzvah, and oinik shavus, therefore one could be lenient, even though basically he doesn't like the heter of shuvus the shuvus, when both shavusim are performed by a Jew and not Amira Lena. Can I have a Mishneh Berurah? Does anybody know where the Mishneh Berurah is in this shoe? I think I see one right up there. I can't read. Third, go to the corner, right-hand corner. No. Go right. There, top floor. Is that the Mishneh Berurah? Chela Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos. That's a nice story. So it's the Mishnah Aleph, Sif Lamed Gimel. We have a Machlaikas, the Machaven the Ramos. Also to say, V'Shabbos V'Mois or V'Kesev Azov Tfurim B'Vigdo. You cannot walk on Shabbos when you have money or other valuables sewn, is that the right word, to your garment. The Ramos says, Yesh Matirim B'Mokim Pseida. Once upon a time, people used to travel for Shabbos, especially Hasidim. But I doubt the Bishesis and the Ramon are dealing with Hasidim that went to their Rebbes. That was 200 years before the Baal Shem. But the discussion is when a person is afraid to leave money at home because somebody might steal. And he is in distress. So the Mechaber says you cannot carry money in your garment, even though obviously it's kalachayat, not the way people usually carry money. The Ramo says, Yesh matirim b'mokim pseida shiyore shiyigzelu mimeno. The Da'at Moshe, which is usually the basis of the Pesukim of the Ramo, he explains, it's actually to the Rabbonans. We don't have Rishus Aram, Yuraisa Bismanaze, and it's Kalachiyah. But it does not base the heter on the general concept of Shavuz Tishavuz V'mokam Tzorech Gadol. No. This is based on the first Mishnah and the last Perek of Masechet Shabbos. Misha Hechshech Loi Baderach. When we're dealing with the Cheshash of monetary laws, Chazal knew human nature. And they were afraid that a person will not stand in his soyan. He wouldn't rise to the challenge. And he would come to the oivir and nisad yuraisa. And therefore, if a person is walking on his way, he's on his way home. And he miscalculated. And hechshech lo biderech. And Shabbos is dawning upon him. Chazal were lenient. And they did not require him to empty out his pockets and throw away his possessions. And Chazal said, if he has a goy, a non-Jew, accompanying him together with him, he's entitled to give it to the non-Jew. They were lenient regarding Amir al-Nachri. If you have a horse or a mule, put it on the animal. If you don't have any animal, and there's no goy next to you. Etiru pochas pochas medaladam. So it'll take you some more time to get home. But stand and go pochas pochas medaladam. What we learn from this halacha is that Chazal were more lenient regarding a person foregoing his money, his possessions, because Chazal, knowing human nature, were afraid if we're not going to come up with a solution, he's just going to be moitzi mishus rishus, mavid al adam sviseram, and to save him from anisa diuraisa, Chazal were forthcoming and they were matur asurim derabah. This is an exception. This is something we find only when there is a chashash of monetary laws. And this sif in Shin Aleph is based on this sug. So the Mechaber says, nevertheless, you cannot carry kalache yad. Because in that sug you do not find that they were matar kalache yad. They were matar pochas pochas mandal adamis. They were matar mila nachu. And the Turei Zohar makes it very clear they were not matar kalache yad. They were lenient regarding pochas pochas medal adamis. We do not find in that sugya that he could carry with the shinui. Neither do we find in that sugya that they were lenient because of the karmelos. They were only lenient regarding pochas pochas medal adamis or milanachi. And that is the opinion of the mechaber. So even if you're afraid somebody's going to steal your money, you can't carry it kalachayad. Money is never. You mean chatzishir because it's pochas medal adamis. Yeah, that's a good question. The Ritva and the Meiri both ask, why is pochas medal adamis not defined as chatzishir? So the Meiri comes up with the formulation, it's a chotzi malacha, not a chatzishir. Chotzi malacha is never considered in his Yisidiyurais. And what I explained in Minchas Oshra, the concept of a shir is only quantitative. Chotzi zayis, chotzi grogeres, chotzi koseves. Daladamis is the essence of the malocha. Pochas medaladamis is like oikar ve'eino maniach. That is chotzi malocha, not a chotzi shir. That is the formulation of the Meiri in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. So the Rambam argues, but if we have two shivusim, one could be lenient. It's not a Rishus Rabban D'Oraisa, and it's Kalachiyat. The Eliyahu Rabba does argue that based on the Sugi and Shabbos Kuf Nun Gimel, one could be lenient even without Kalachiyat, by Nisa the Rabbanon. But the Mugna of Rome and the Taz seem to indicate, no. Nisa the Rabbanon, it's not a general rule that you could be lenient by every Nisa the Rabbanon. We do not find in Chazar only Pochas, Pochas, Medal Adamis, and Amid Renachl. Not by Shinui. And not by Karmas. So the Mishnah Brura, Shin Aleph, Sif Kotten Kuf Nun Aleph and Shahat Sian writes that Elio Rabbe is lenient, but he didn't even bring his opinion in Mishnah Brura because he's a Da'as Yochi. However, in Machne Yisrael, we're dealing with Jewish soldiers in foreign militaries. Mishnah Brura writes, Koshal Ahachmir Neged Hu Elio Rabbe. Even though Mishnah Brura, he writes, and therefore I didn't even quote it in the Mishnah Brura. So I didn't do research. I really don't know. I didn't check it out, even though it's relatively easy to know which of the two Sforim he wrote before and which he wrote later. And sometimes it is common by Gedolim that they change their opinion. My feeling is that the Mishnah Brura came later than the Machne Yisrael. So one might argue that, you know, he changed his mind. I think it's more reasonable to say the Mishnah Brura did not change his mind, but dealing with soldiers in foreign armies is more lenient. And sometimes Gedolim relate to different circumstances. Not always is it a different basic definition. Because the Mishnah Brura in Machne Yisrael deals even in cases that are not direct pikuach nefesh. the soldier won't be court-martialed. You know, he has the option of staying in his room and not going out. But nevertheless, the Mishneh Berurah was more forthcoming and more lenient regarding soldiers in an alien army. And therefore, in Machni Soli writes, Kosha lahak mineged el yorava, in the old Mishneh Berurah, Shar Tzion, Shin Aleph, Kuf Nun Aleph, he writes that I don't even quote the El Yerabah because he's a Das Yochid. The Hillel HaDovid argues that he's not a Das Yochid, and maybe even the Magen Avraham would agree to the El Yerabah in certain circumstances. So these were questions dealt with Gedolei Yisrael in changing times, changing circumstances, and we dealt with some of the questions that come up regarding Malach HaSeitzor, not only Malach HaSeitzor, but many of these pressing questions dealt with Malach HaSeitzor. Shalosh Shuvos Minchas Osher. I'm ashamed to say I don't remember whether it's Chelek Aleph or Chelek Beis. And many times I apologize and I say, I remember many Svarim better than I remember the Minchas Osher for a very simple reason. When I learned the Ktzei Sechoshin, then I knew that the Chum Sefer was Gersa de Yankos. When I was a younger man, there was no Minchas Osher. So when I came to learn the Minchas Osher, my memory was already not as crisp as it was many years ago. But I do recall Minchas Osher, Shanas Shuvos, some new Ches. I think it's Chelek Aleph. Might be Chelek Beis, but I think it is Chelek Aleph. I have a lengthy discussion regarding the concept of Shulz B'Mukah Mitzvah and dealing with different Shilas regarding which Shavusim are more lenient, which are harsher, which Shavusim are Chomer, which Shavusim are Kral, and various different aspects of this Halach. So we dealt today primarily with Malach HaZeitzur because the source of Malach HaZeitzur is in this week's parasha. But as I mentioned at the outset of this year, this week's parasha, Yetzias Mitzrayim, comes to a climax. And they reached the other side of the river. And the pasuk says, Az Yushim Oisha, and Rashi writes, Olo Belibom Vaymashir. Obviously, Rashi wants to explain the lesson of Az Yoshe, which seems to deal with the future. The Pesach should say Az Shar, dealing with the past. Az Yoshe seems to indicate it's a future tense. So the Gemara in the 10th Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin says that this is a Rayat Chisam Eisam Hansayra. And La'osin Lavoi, we will once again say this same shir. But that is not Pshuto Shel Mikra. So Rashi interprets Pshuto Shel Mikra as Yoshe Olo Belibo Yishe Yoshe Shir. So the Maral and Gurari asks, well, everything a person does, first he decides to do. So if Masa B'machshavot Chila, whatever we do, first, it's Ola Belibay. No one eats until Ola Belibay Shiyoichal. No one sleeps until Ola. No, well, sleeping might be different. Well, sometimes you sleep without planning it out. So the Maral comes up with a beautiful and magnificent idea. What is unique about Shir? The Medrash says in this week's Pash, B'shosha Omri Yisrael Shiru Alayam Omri HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saved all the Marishan from death. I accepted his tshuva. I saved Avraham Avinu Mur Kasdim. He did not say Shira. I spared Yitzchak from the Akedah. He didn't say Shira. I salvaged Yaakov Avinu from Lovan, from Esav. He did not say Shira. Acha ondu Yisrael alayam. That is what the Medrash says. Nochayim kisachu miyaz miyoel amato. Loines konenu kisoy shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Acha omru Yisrael Shira alayam. Well, we do find that the Medrash said, Mizmor Shiri Yom HaShabbos. The others were makav karbonos. Hapam oide es Hashem. That is the basis of the name Yehuda. So they did offer thanks. They did offer gratitude. They did daven. Avraham tikkun shachar, Yitzchok tikkun mincha, Yaakov tikkun arvus. Why is Shira different? And what is unique about Shira? So I usually explain with the Hasidic Shemais. I heard a beautiful story. I didn't read it, but I heard it from an alto vision of Chos. When Rav Uri Mistrelesk, all of the Sara Hashemayim, or after he passed away, so Strelesk Hasidim were looking for a new Rebbe. Hasidim without a Rebbe doesn't go. And they recalled that Rav Uri, on his deathbed, said that there is a young tzaddik in the Ukraine that is Zegahoyim. He's a great tzaddik. Sosan Velo Pirish. He did not mention his name. So they went Me'ir La'ir U'Mekfar La'Kfar. They traveled from one town to the other looking for that young tzaddik somewhere in the vast cities of the Ukraine. So they visited many chaseres, and they didn't feel, you know, a kesha nashi until they got to Ruzhin. They were inspired, they were moved, and they were seemed to be drawn to the Rebbe. So they came into the Rishana. They told them, we are Stolitsky Hasidim, and our Rebbe passed away some weeks ago, and we want to be part of your chotzo, of your community. So the tzaddik of Ruzhin, Rabbi Saul, said, well, you're very welcome. You seem to be nice people and good chassidim. But there's one big problem. Because your Rebbe and his chassidim were very well known to daven with a tremendous externalist bias. They used to stomp their feet and clap their hands and yell at the top of their lungs, and that is not our minig. I don't know whether many chassidim are sitting here or not, but probably you're familiar that the Rishon HaRebbe is daven without any external hispilus. Koil the momo tako. He's shown. So the Hasidim said, well, it goes without saying. It's natural. If we would be Rishon HaChasidim, we would be noyeg minig hamokam. I mean, there's no need to talk about it. It goes without saying. So he said, you're very welcome. The first Shabbos the Strelitzke Hasidim came to Ruzhin was Parshas Bisharach. And they said the brochas was quiet. Karbonas, everything was fine. But when they came to Shira Sayam, suddenly it was like a tsunami broke out. And in that corner where this new Rishon Hasidim stood, they started to clap their hands and shout and yell. And when the davening was over, they felt terrible. Moshe Shabbos, Chalzun Aleim, they took off their shoes, that is the din of a menuda, and they came to the Rebbe to apologize, and they came into the Rebbe and they started crying, and they said, you know, they regret it terribly, and they hope it'll never happen again. And the Rishon HaTzaddik asked him, what are you talking about? He said, well, we violated the Rebbe's rules. You didn't violate anything. So he said, but we clapped our hands and we shouted. So the Rishon HaTzaddik said, "Yichu gezuk mazom shklatsen, aber wenn der Hand klatschen sich allein, ob dem ob man nicht gerät." If I need to translate, he said, "I told you not to clap your hands, but sometimes the hands clap by themselves, and it's not you. You had no control, and that was not part of my stipulation. Everything is okay." Olo belivoy sheyosher shira. Says the Maharal, we don't say Shira, we don't sing Shira. Shira comes out of a heart when it's overflowing with love and emotion. Ashira mitparetzet min alev. It is not something we plan and say. And that is, in a way, what Rashi means. Ola beliboy. When your heart overflows with feeling and emotion and gratitude, that is when you say Shira. So the Ran in Perek Arvet Sochim asks a tremendous question. In Megillah Daf Chof, it's Mavor in the Mishnah, that Halal is said by Yom and not Belailo. We never say Halal by night. At Belayla Seder, we do say Halal, and obviously, it's night. How could we say Halal in the Haggadah Pesach by night? So the Ran says the Halal we say, the Leila Seder, is not L'Shem Halal, but rather Shira. And many ask, well, what's the difference how you call it? Halal is Halal. It's the same Kapitlach in Tehillim. It's exactly the same Psukim and Prokim that we say any other time. So Halal is Halal. You might call it Shira, but what is the difference between Halal B'Leila Seder and Halal any other time of the year? So my feeling is, well, the difference is whether we say Halal or the Halal Poretz Min HaLeil. So when this Halal is Shira, you can't restrict one and say, you say Halal B'Yom V'Lo B'Leila. Well, if your heart overflows with Kirvus Elokim, with closeness to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, with Halal Mehidoya and Shira, that is the definition of Shira. So Shira, whenever time comes, you say Shira, whether it's day or night. That is what is unique about Shira. So the Ovis Akdoshim and their children obviously davened and prayed and said Halal and Hoidoya, but it wasn't until Shira Sayam that Klal Yisrael said Shira. And the entire nation was elevated to a Madrega of Nevi'e Yisrael, and it is then that the first time since the day of creation that Klal Yisrael said Shira. And that is why the minig is to say Shira Sayam, b'kol yoyim v'yoyim. It is not an integral part of Psukedism. But because Shira is such a special zgula, and because Shira is the highest form of Deveikus and Kirvus Elokim, the minig that we do not find in Chazal, but only in later generations, is to say Shira Sayam B'chol Yoyim V'yoyim. As Yusha Moshe, Chazal teach us, V'yosad Lavoi, B'kora B'yameinu, we will once again say Shira, U'mekan B'tchiyas HaMeisim, and that's it. Yerotzu, we should all be Zoyche, B'kora B'yameinu, Ki Yameitzeischa Me'yeretz Mitzrayim, Arenon of voice. And we should once again, together with the entire people, with the entirety of Klal Yisrael, as Yusha Moshe, no Shiro Lashem, Shir Chodosh, we should once again say Shira Bebias Goel Tzedek, Bemhero Viomenu, Amen.
That's the question the whole time. Oh, you.